This is Earth 52, Episode 3, Batman and Robin. Hey, I'm Jess Widerski, and this is Earth 52, Batman and Robin episode. I'll be taking a look at Batman and Robin Deluxe Edition, Volumes 1 and 2. Volume 1 is titled Batman Reborn, and the second volume is titled Batman vs. Robin. Both are written by Grant Morrison, but the first one is penciled by Frank Quitely, and the second one is penciled mostly by Cameron Stewart. Alright, well, let's get started. Alright, I'm going to say right off the bat, I'm not a huge Morrison fan. I find that he writes more for himself than anybody else. That's a little disappointing, but it doesn't mean his stuff is bad. A lot of the times, it's really good. It's just sometimes it seems like he's writing for himself, which he is. And I'm also not a huge fan of the Frank Quitely artwork either. I apologize if I'm butchering his name. I really like the art in the second volume much better. I mean, he's a good artist, don't get me wrong. He's just not my style. So, now. Alright, well, Dick Grayson is Batman. He finally got the role. With the whole battle for the cowl thing, I was hoping for it, as well as I pretty much knew that he was going to get it, because, in all honesty, who else are they going to make it? Jason? No. But we'll get into Jason later. I know he feels uncertain in his role as Batman, and he's growing into that role, but right now, you can definitely tell that he's not comfortable whatsoever. And of course, they talk about that. I mean, he's so used to being that, domino-masked guy jumping around Bloodhaven, protecting the city, and, you know, being semi-cheerful at least, but now he has to constantly be the scowling guy. Of course, he's fighting that status quo, and he's become a little lighter. And it's kind of ironic, because Damian is being the darker one of the two, while, you know, Dick is being the lighter one, which is the opposite of what Batman and Robin used to be. Batman's a dark man. Robin was the light one, but I don't remember. Speaking of Damian, I hate that kid. Oh my god, he's so obnoxious. What a little twerp. I hate him. I mean, he's the best candidate for Robin, and I'm glad that he's Robin, because if we didn't make him Robin, he'd end up being some crazy guy like Hush, thinking he's doing the right thing he's at the same time not doing the right thing. But I know he's supposed to be a twerp, which just means that Grant Morrison is writing him well. So, I hate him, but he's supposed to be that way, so that's good. Alright, let's see. I found really interesting is that Morrison has really amped up the insanity in this book, at least in the first volume. I mean, Batman's villains, most of them are criminals that are insane. They go to Arkham Asylum, and they're treated for their insanity. But the only two real characters that they emphasize the insanity on is Two-Face and Joker. And it was interesting that he kept introducing all these characters. Not really all these, but a few characters. Flamingo and Pig Guy, or whatever his name was. But he made them so creepy and insane, to a degree that we really haven't seen since the creation of the Joker. I mean, they're monsters in their own right, and it's fascinating to see him play on this insanity in the first volume before switching to some of his previous storylines in the second volume. You know, the whole Black Glove organization, all that stuff. Something I noticed. Can no one... No villain of Batman's tie a knot. I mean, really. I mean, they tie Batman and Robin up so many times in the first two volumes. Every single time, they all get up. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. Why do they use ropes anyway? They're Batman and Robin. What makes you think they won't be able to untie a knot? I mean, seriously. They've been protecting Gotham for, what, I guess in DC time. It's like 10, 12 years. They're going to know how to tie a knot. They're the experts. They're going to know how to tie a knot. They're going to know how to untie a knot. They're going to know how to kick your butt after they untie the knots. Figure it out. Use handcuffs. Whatever. It's so ridiculous. Ugh. And another thing, that fire guy in the first volume? I mean, what's up with that? I mean, I know people are seeing him on fire. I'm like, oh my god, he's on fire, but his clothes aren't on fire. Just his hands and his head. I mean, unless he's wearing asbestos clothes, I would personally be suspicious of him being on fire. But you gotta admit, that's a pretty cool trick. I mean, you run up and you're like, oh my god, I'm on fire, and then you trick him and you burn him half to death. It's kind of lame that he'd, use the same trick 3 times, but I guess if something's that broke, don't fix it. Alright, well, it was nice to see the Batman interrogations again once, Fire Guy was captured. I mean, I love the Batman interrogations. They're always, kind of funny, but amazingly dark and cool at the same time. I mean, I remember reading a story once, I can't remember if it was Trinity or JLA, and Batman, some other hero, finds this thug. The thug's not talking, so Batman walks up to him, whispers in his ear, and the guy just starts freaking out, and he spills everything. It's just like, that's so cool. What did he say? That's so awesome. And of course, in this one, it's, your basic technique. Just your basic interrogation Batman technique. Holding them from a height or above a dangerous area and saying, oh my god, my arm might tire. So it was good to see that back, especially Dick using it, because, let's face it, you learn from the master. I love those interrogation stuff. I mean, if only cops on, NCIS and CSI did that kind of thing, I think the show's ratings would go way up. It would be so much cooler. Anyways, I'm disappointed in Jason. If you read the Countdown to Final Crisis Search for Ray Palmer, which in my opinion is the only good thing that came out of Final Crisis, you'll know that Jason helped Donna and Kyle Rayner find Ray Palmer. And at the end of the storyline, it looked like he was going to don the Red Robin costume and become the new Red Robin, which I was cool with because I read about Red Robin in the other universe and as well as in Kingdom Come. And I thought that he had kind of been a guy without an identity for a while, ever since the Red Hood storyline. And so I was excited for that. He looked like he was going to lean a little bit more towards the good side. Sure, he'd probably still kill people, but at least he was going to don a mask. And then he goes completely bonkers and pretends he's Batman and Battle for the Cowl, and now he's, doing his Red Hood thing again, and I'm severely disappointed in him. I mean, he looked like he was going to stop killing, just a couple years ago, and then all of a sudden, he's this maniac killing every single criminal in sight, like we saw him back when he was originally the Red Hood, but it's even worse this time. I'm not sure why it's worse. It's just something about the way that he was acting that made him seem more insane than before, and just his actions seem all that much worse for it. So I'm disappointed, Jason. I had such high expectations of him, and now I have no expectations of him. Oh well. Well, after reading the second volume, Batman's death in Final Crisis definitely makes more sense. I mean, Darkseid, that's how we got the skeleton, because I always wondered in Return of Bruce Wayne and Blackest Night, whose skeleton was that? I thought at first that Darkseid had pulled a guy from the future, or Batman was in the future, and sent it back. But then it turns out Batman's in the past, and it didn't make sense anymore. And if he was from the future, why is he wearing the same costume? And I was very confused about that. So I guess that made more sense, but unfortunately, at the same time, they made his return make even less sense. I mean, it was such a wonky storyline, and I think I got every other issue by accident. And I haven't been able to get the other issues. So I only have, half the storyline, but I thought he was skipping around in time? And apparently not. Apparently he was living all the way through time. And I also thought he had no memories of, his Wayne establishment. But apparently, that was also wrong. So, these two storylines seem to contradict each other, unless I'm completely bonkers, and, you know, this actually does make sense. So, the second storyline in the second volume, it did nothing for me. I hadn't read the previous Black Hand stuff, I was very much confused by Bruce Wayne's thing. I'm sure I would have been less confused if I hadn't read Return of Bruce Wayne, but because I read that, I was very confused. And, yeah, so, the first volume has two storylines. It has, Batman Reborn, which is basically him going against Dr. Pig, and the second storyline is him against Jason. And in the second volume, it's him in England, bringing back a Batman clone. And then the second story is the return of one of the Black Hand members, as well as him finding clues that Bruce supposedly left behind. So, second storyline, second volume, yeah, I got nothing from that one. If you've read previous stuff, go ahead, read it. It elaborates, I'm sure it'll be good for you, but for me, no, not so much. Alright, moving on, because I spent too long on that. Big spoiler alert here. Wow, Oberon Sexton. I cannot believe he's who he is. I don't want to say the name exactly, in case you haven't read it, and yet for some reason you're still listening to me. I cannot believe this guy has so much control. I mean, we've seen him in previous stuff. He's so, you know, who he is. And I can't believe that he could stop being who he is for so long to do this. I mean, how did he just not break down? I guess he must have some control when it comes to a bigger plan like that, where he knows at the end he's gonna get his way and he's gonna have the last laugh. And, you know, beat Batman, apparently. I don't know. I want to read the next volume just to find out how and why this guy did what he did in becoming Oberon Sexton, because it's amazing. Alright, well, moving on to a little bit more trivial stuff. Poor Alfred, oh my god, in the second volume, he just gets the snot beaten out of him. I feel so bad for him. I mean, this is the guy that has to continually fix up Batman and Robin every night after they get the tar beat out of him out of whatever thug that accidentally gets a lucky shot in. And then he also, whenever someone gets into the Batcave, the first guy that gets knocked out is Alfred. I just feel sorry for him. Another thing, I've always wondered, how do the Domino masks stay on? I mean, after seeing that one panel in the second volume where Damien's taking his mask off, or is it the first one? I don't know, I'd have to check. I was thinking, it must be some kind of adhesive glue. And I guess that makes sense. So I guess it kind of answers the question, because he's peeling it off. It's not like a piece of cardboard or a piece of anything. It's a kind of a filmish paper that you glue to your face, apparently. So I guess that kind of answers that question. But I've always wondered that, because in the TV show, the 60s TV show, it was obviously string. And in this one, it's nothing. It's glue. So I guess it's kind of cool that they put that in. Another awesome thing, they're still using the Whirly Bats. That is awesome. I mean, I remember reading just seeing a cover of an old Batman comic, and it had Batman and Robin in their one-man helicopter, I found out later that they're called Whirly Bats, and I think the last I heard of a Whirly Bat was in a previous Hush storyline. Not the Hush storyline, a Hush storyline. And I just didn't know they used those things. That's so cool that Morrison would pull out something like that and use it again. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Alright, now I'm going to go on a small rant. It's a trivial detail, but it's something that I find I do a lot when I'm reading Morrison stuff. Sometimes Morrison will put a piece of information into one panel, and if he has a good artist, oftentimes the next panel is far more interesting than the panel with the information that you may or may not have needed to know, And so your eye, at least my eyes, automatically go to that panel. And I want to go back and read the previous panel, but then I get so caught up in the story of the next panel that I just go on reading and reading, and I completely miss that panel. So, in the first storyline of the second volume, Batwoman, first she has long hair, and then I'm reading, and all of a sudden she has short hair. I was wondering, did Batman cut her hair or something? So I had to flip back and forth until I finally found the panel where she says, "Take off my wig." I was like, how did I miss that? Why did Morrison make us miss that? I mean, it's a minute detail, but it was bothering me, and it's the one thing I don't like about Morrison, is that he puts details into the teeniest little text bubble, and even if it's followed, and it's sometimes it's followed by a big action scene, and he still expects you to remember that minute detail, and sometimes that minor detail can become a big part of the story, and I don't like that. That's something that you do if you're writing for yourself, and that's what Grant Morrison is doing, and I don't like that. The rest of the story, all of the rest of these two stories, was good. It was perfectly fine. It was excellent Batman stories. That one part bothered me so much, and I see it in Grant Morrison's writing a lot. Overall, I give Batman and Robin the Deluxe Edition, Volume 1, A-, and Volume 2, a B+. The reason I'm giving Volume 2 a B+, is because of the second storyline. It is a slightly confusing storyline that you have to know a lot of background about, and to a new reader, which is, you know, who would be reading this story, is a new Batman and Robin reader, they're not going to exactly get it. So that's the only reason I give it a slightly lower grade. But the first storyline, which takes place in England, is awesome. You get Knight and Squire. It's all good. It's jolly good fun. It's awesome. Alright. Well, I do have some upcoming podcasts that I thought I'd tell you about in case you want to read before you listen. My next podcast will be Angel After the Fall, Volume 4. Now, unfortunately, I read the first three volumes before I started the podcast, and I don't have them with me, so the next podcast will be just about Volume 4, and maybe at some later date we'll go back and do the entire thing. After that will be All-Star Superman, a movie and book review. And then next we have John Constantine, Hellblazer Volume 1, Original Sins, followed by Classic G.I. Joe Volume 1, going all the way back to the 70s. Alright, well, I hope you're looking forward to those podcasts, because I know I am. And see you later.